Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 79, Worldly Kingdom Falling Down. Today is Friday, January 2nd, 2009. Happy New Year.
Train a coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the dealers humming. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. So people get ready for the train to Jordan, picking up passengers coast to coast. Faith is the key, open the doors and board 'em. There's hope for all among us love the most.
Happy New Year. 2009 is here. Thank the Lord. Hey, that's my ticket on to the train. People get ready. What a great song by The Impressions, 1965. And did you recognize that lead singer? That was Curtis Mayfield. What a great song. Catching the train to Jordan, faith is the key to open the door. There is no hiding place against the kingdom's throne. Faith is the ticket, and you just thank the Lord. Happy New Year. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis. And yes, this is the Tongues of Fire Pastor Paul's podcast. And you know what? It's really Saturday, January 3rd, and we're late. But you know why? We got really good reason. We got so many messages here, 80 episodes, that our computers are just smoking. We had to clear out some space just to get this podcast up and going, but it's here now, and I hope you enjoy it. It's really good. And I had to pick just the right song for this new year, and I think I've done it. People get ready. So get ready. Here we come. Now, Pastor Paul's mission, as you know, is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota. And where are we located? In North Minneapolis. We're in the Disciples Ministries historic Microcoda Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. Now, if you live in Minnesota or Western Wisconsin, we're not fussy. Actually, you can come from anywhere you want because we have no boundaries. The only requirement is that you're living in a household of two or more, or you're a senior 60 years and older, or you're disabled with proof. If you fit those qualifications, you can call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. And we have a lot of food, and we give away a lot of food, so be sure to register if you need food. Now, I just want to remind you that the building is actually closed until this Wednesday, January 7th, because we've been on vacation. Well, I can't say I've been on vacation. I probably never worked harder in all my life getting ready for the audit we've got coming up, trying to get all of my ducks in a row, so to speak, so that I can hit the ground running this year to build our e-commerce site and do a lot more with our web presence. So I had to take our two-week vacation to just really make things work and get a lot of our mission business done. But just to let you know that the mission is going to be reopening for our business on Wednesday. But if you're new and you haven't registered with us, you can call Monday on the 5th and Tuesday on the 6th and call between 1 and 3, and Carolyn will be sure to register you so you will be able to actually come in and get your grocery order on January 7th. So be sure to do that. Now, if you have a little extra money in your pocket and you just don't know what to do with it, and you're looking at 2009 and that you want to start the new year out by donating and supporting one of the best outreach programs to needy people, I want you to visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our mission. And we do need your support, so be sure to do that. Give us our generous donation. We need your money. You can also join our community. And up at the top of the homepage, you're going to see links to our interactive communities, you might say. Pastor Paul's blog, where you can leave comments to actually this podcast. You can go to Pastor Paul's blog. You're going to be able to see the show notes there and leave comments. And you're going to see links to the scripture at Pastor Paul's blog. You can also go to Flickr and see some historic pictures. Pastor Paul's been around since a long time, 1980 actually. So probably longer than some of you have been around. But be sure to visit Flickr, and you'll be able to see some of these historic photos. Really, really good. The podcast. Subscribe to the podcast. There's a link there. The shop, as I said, 2009 is going to be our big year for our shopping. And we've got some special things coming up there. So be sure to check back for that. Twitter. I love Twitter. Follow me. I'll follow you. Hey, I need some followers. So be sure to follow me on Twitter. It's so much fun. You just have a few lines to be able to say, what are you up to? And I'd like to know. Also, you can go to YouTube and you will see Pastor Paul's photos. Or I should say Pastor Paul's videos. We have a few up, more to come. I'm working on one. Ooh, so many things going on. But the video that I've got to finish here is on the highest voter registration. And I know that sounds so old since we had we voted in November. But hey, right now Minnesota's in a recount. So really, really interesting things are happening here. So our election is not finished. So, hey, thank God I'll be able to get this video up, and it'll be just like today. So you can also call me on the comment line, and you can leave a message at 1-715-808-0318. If you want to leave a comment, ask a question, give a testimony, or even make a suggestion, you can do that at the comment line. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. And again, there are going to be links to the scriptures in the show notes, so be sure to check those out. This coming Friday, our rescheduled episode number 80, Heavenly Kingdom Coming Down. You got to be here for that next Friday. Until then, have a great week. And just remember to get on that train. You don't need a ticket. You just want to thank the Lord. God bless you and Happy New Year.
Today, our message is going to be entitled, Worldly Kingdom Falling Down. I was riding along in my car and I started to think about this. And we had been talking about different things down here at the ministry. And the song just came to me. Worldly kingdom falling down. Falling down, falling down. Worldly kingdom falling down. Praise you, Jesus. Worldly kingdom falling down. And I came in and we started talking about whether we should, Christians should have Cadillacs and Christians should have this and should they have that. And I started thinking, well, now what would I do if there was a Cadillac over here and there was a great big truck over here I could do the Lord's work with down here? Which one would I choose? Which one would the kingdom of God have me to choose? And you know, I'd hardly ever get into this Cadillac and ride around, but just think what a work we could do with something like that. And I guess what we have to do is deny ourselves and take on the priorities that the kingdom of God tells us to do. So it's worldly kingdom falling down. And it's falling down all around us, isn't it? It doesn't matter what people do. It doesn't matter if the rich get rich and the poor get poor, as the song says. It doesn't matter. See, because it's all falling down anyway, and there's just one last ditch attempt to save it. It isn't going to work. Because the poor are so poor that you can't tax them anymore. The poor are so poor that you can't take anything away from them anymore. So what's it going to prove? This is this world kingdom coming to an end, and it's certainly falling down. All around us is falling over. So anyway, tonight, are you more negative than positive? A lot of the people that I see nowadays are pretty negative. And I find that some people are on an escape route, an escape through drugs. They're all trying to escape to something. An escape through booze or an escape through a man. Oh, if I only had a man. And they think if they get that man, they'll escape with this man. And it'll be sort of a utopia, you know. And oh, wow. If I had this man, then everything would be all right. And, you know, it's a choice. It's either Jesus or this particular man that doesn't want you. Wouldn't have you, wouldn't touch you with a 10-foot pole. Worldly kingdom falling down. Falling down, falling down. Worldly kingdom falling down. Praise you, Jesus. Maybe on the other hand, there's some escaping through a woman. Oh, if I only had that woman. Now this is a woohoo, wow, woo-wee. You listen to me on the tape already, you think you got problems now with number one. Wait till you get number two. That's the way the world is right now, isn't it? Worldly kingdom falling down, falling down, falling down. Worldly kingdom falling down. Praise you, Jesus. And then we have those that escape through their children. They do everything for baby. Go, go. I mean, the baby directs their whole life. Now, that's all right to be a good mother, but you can't escape through these children. They never let them go. They can be 50 years old, and they still want to coddle their little sweet, fat-faced babies. Or maybe they want to escape through their job. They get into their job, and everything goes into their job. But a lot of the people are trying to escape through negative attitudes. Are you hearing this? And they evade responsibility for positive achievement by being critical. There's so many critical people now, God. And they're critical of this, and they're critical of that, and then they're negative. And they even use faith as an excuse, an escape route. They point out the shortcomings in others, and thus they hide their own. Have you ever done that? I have. That's like the sleepers. They hate wide awake banging around people. Busy people. You know why? Because every noise convicts them. And so instead of moving out for God, they become fault finders. Stop banging them pans around and stop making all that noise doing God's work. You make me sick. And so they end up in sort of a deteriorating process. They end up going nowhere except backwards. But then I thought, when you take this negative attitude towards others and situations, you become a very negative person. And there's so many negative people now. And that negative person, that attitude that you take on, becomes you. That's the payoff. Every part of your body spells out no go. You take on the attitude that you have acquired through criticizing. The payoff is you're a no-go person. And then you start to direct your attention towards yourself when you start to point at others. Did you ever look into somebody's eyes and you look right in there and you point your fingers? You know what you can see? You can see yourself pointing at them. It's kind of like you cause the attention to come to you. That's like a person standing and looking up. Won't be long, you're going to have everybody doing the same thing. But you see, we tend to find faults in others that we subconsciously, let me get this right now, see in ourselves. I think we're sort of a mirror to one another. You remember the man who hid his talent from his master? Lord, I knew thee. Now, isn't that cocky? Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Maybe you never read it that way before. That's what he's saying, in essence, isn't it? And I was afraid, and went and hid the talent in the earth. What's he saying? Oh, I knew you. You're the kind of person that wants something for nothing. Now admit it. Come on. See, he knew his fault and began to find fault with his master. And it's so easy for us to judge one another and to find fault in one another, because you know what? We're looking at ourselves most times. And the world even says that it takes one to know one. Oh, the fault finders, they're so busy pulling up, but they never plant. And they're full of these secret faults. You know what I mean by secret faults? God knows I got them. And so David knew he had secret faults in Psalm 19 and 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. And I thought, what is a secret fault he's talking about? You know, the Lord spoke to me. He says, those are those faults that you color up and may try to make them look a little more rosy. Or the ones that you have disguised. And Paul, you know, when they're kept off stage, and off stage of the world, they are like fire in the chimney. Though you do not see it, yet it burns. And the world says, where there's smoke, there's fire. And so many, we're finding, and we know, that commit sins so that the public eye doesn't see them. And then when God and our conscience see, in order to quiet it down, we find faults in others. Because our conscience is always on our case. Always praise God for our consciences. that I know that these secret sins are more dangerous than any of the others. Because why? They are like wounds covered over. They still hurt and they can still kill us. And I thought to myself, we must beware of acts which bear covering up and bear concealing. And I thought, oh, guilt, what a grim bed partner. I only slept a couple hours before I was saved tonight because of my guilt. I had guilt weighing right next to me. What a bed partner. And I'd wake up and I'd have those red eyes and have those sleepless nights. Until, praise God, it didn't happen to me. Until we have a burnout in our consciences. Until that light of the Lord burns out and we have no more conscience. Oh, God, that's terrible when you feel that coming on. Then that light goes out and there's no more conscience there to convict us. And we don't get convicted anymore. And seems like God is far away. Whew. Praise God for our conscience. And praise God for the gift of the Holy Ghost. That leads us into all truths and quickens our consciences and elevates us into a higher understanding of what God wants in relation to us. What He has for us to do. Praise God for that Holy Spirit. Praise God for the salvation that kept us from the pit, from that terrible, terrible, terrible fate. But oh, this hypocrisy that so many are living in. It's a hard game to play at. Why, I said before, a fellow called me, he said, now listen, I said this before, say it again, somebody needs to hear it. Called up and he says, I'd like to come to church, but I find there, it's full of hypocrites. I says, no, you're wrong. He says, what do you mean? I says, you're not here. But hypocrisy is a very hard game to play at. It's one deceiver against many observers. Do you ever feel like everybody knew what was going on in your life? My God, that's a hard way to go, isn't it? You got this sin inside and there's smoke coming out of your chimney and you try to cap it off. But every once in a while it belches and knocks the cover loose and there you go, whoa, and you try to cover it back up again, understand? It's your conscience that lets off these little smoke signals. Woo, 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 huh? You feel like everybody knows what's happening with you. And when the preacher gets up filled with the Holy Ghost, you figure like, oh God, he's got into my diary or something. They accuse you of being mind reader. God. I don't want to read anybody's mind. I'm having enough trouble with my own. Tell it like it is, preacher. Just don't get up at all. You hear now? You listening on the radio? All you secret people? Ah, but this hypocrisy is a miserable trait, isn't it? You'll learn at last, it'll earn for you, as it's certain, and it will certainly come climax, a tremendous bankruptcy. Oh, all who have sinned without discovery. Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. My God, that's enough to make anybody stop sinning. Word of God says, be sure your sin will find you out. God, that could get kind of embarrassing, couldn't it? Praise God, most times if it is found out. There isn't a secret sin anymore that festers on the inside and boils and blurps. But like a bird in the fowler's net, many people are right now today. Struggling, trying to get out, and the more they try to get out, the worse they're entangled. But now listen, and listen very carefully. Sins many times are hid from the godly man's eyes. God hides them from us. How many are hearing this? God hides those sins we don't even know that we have, and He hides them from us. Are you hearing this? Let me help you, honey. God hides them from us. You're welcome. And He hides these sins from us because you know why He does? Because we're not truthful. We're not good at seeing our own secret faults. We're not ready to see Him yet. And so God sort of holds Him back and hides Him. Then one at a time He shows Him to us via the Holy Ghost. Because if God showed you all of your whole sin nature all at once, you know what would happen? Your furnace would blow up and the chimney would disintegrate. That's what would happen. It wouldn't no more be a smoke coming out of the chimney. It would be a blast. It'd be a Mount Olympus. Helena. Whatever. Oh, and how we must learn how to seek out and search our own hearts. When we start doing that, it will keep us so busy. I'll guarantee you, you won't have time to find fault with anyone else. Say amen. When you become expert at hunting out your own faults, say, God, search my heart. And God throws these things. Okay, I search it. Here's what I find. Search and you shall find. Seek and you shall find, it says. You ask for it. Here it is. Now, how many are hearing this message? Who? Oh, yes. And Jeremiah was more negative than positive. And he conceived his commission to be this: to tear up, to break down, to shatter and to pull down, but then to build up and to plant. And so you see, he was negative 4-2 in his attitudes. He is known as the weeping prophet, the prophet of doom. You know how many prophets of doom I've had wander into my ministry? Oh, man, if I listened to every one of them, I would have went just straight running down the road. But I thought, you know, we seldom turn to him. Then we have Agabus in the New Testament, and he prophesied two things: famine and the imprisonment for Paul, and both came true. But we don't remember the Agabus, do we? Or do we name our children after him? Oh, Agabus, Agabus, no, come in. No, we don't, do we? Is he because he was negative and his following was negative? And so the negative person, you see, becomes what he puts out, negative. You hang around him long enough, you'll become negative yourself. And you got to get down on your hands and knees and pray about it. Say, oh, smoke is belching out of me. But you see, some people see everything as evil. It amazes me, the preachers that are on the radio. Everything they see is evil. Everything. Nothing good. It's all evil. And it says good overcomes evil, but they hardly ever mention any good. Seems like they're lifting up evil. And as I've counseled people over the many years I've been preaching, I find that a lot of them are full of conflicts, and they're tense, and they're disrupted. And many times they pour out a perfect tirade, well-practiced, about what's wrong with their dad, about what's wrong with their brother or their sister or their friends or their enemies or their wives or their husbands or the preacher, on and on and on, or their boss. And it's a perfect, well-practiced tirade because they become fault finders that are expert in giving out all of the faults of others. And everybody has a wrong except, of course, themselves. But at night, they don't sleep. Why don't they sleep? Because the person they've been trying to cover up is sleeping right next to them. Woo! And these people sort of tie themselves up in a knot, if you will. And you know, they're as sensitive as a boil about their own faults. If you were to mention a few of their faults, it's just like touching a boil. They won't let you touch them. But to hear them talk, everyone else has a fault. You ever been that way in your life? My God, I have. Sorry for it, Lord. You know, just before I was saved, I believe I was as touchy as Job. I think I had as many boils as he did, sore spots. And so a lot of times when I minister to these folks, I find that my hands are tied. I can't do anything for them, nor can God. Until they allow themselves to see their own faults, you know, I have to leave them in their knots. They're self-tied. Tie themselves in a knot. There it is. And the only one that can pull that knot is the Lord. That's the reason people can't hold friends. It's not because of antagonisms of their associates, no. It's not because misfortune, let's say, has put them into a situation with unfriendly people, no. It's not that they happen to be working with a tyrannous or an unsympathetic and a maladjusted chief, no. It's not that conspiracies are against them, no. The majority of people who lack fellowship, the reason is inherent and in themselves. And so they can get along just so long with people, and then the people can't get along with them anymore. Because they have to find faults with these people to cover up their own shortcomings. Well, there are people like that that I minister to, and they always have an extenuating circumstance. One man came to me, he says, you know, I was kicked out of school as a boy 4 times a year. And he always had excuses. Well, this time, he goes, you know what the guy did? He blew a bean in the back of my head, so I got up and I just cuffed him up good. Then the next time wasn't my fault either, and you get called down the principal. And then, well, it wasn't my fault the next time. Then he went on in life and he was fired from many, many jobs, but he always said there was an extenuating circumstance in all of this. Boss was picking on him. People didn't understand him. Oh, there was always something wrong. They'd been married about 5 times, and there was always something wrong with every one of those women. And I asked him, how about all those times you went to jail? What was the problem then? Well, hey, it wasn't my fault. So it breaks. I just happened to be at the wrong place. You know what I mean? I mean, oh, there was the right time for the police to catch you, though. Is that it? God. And finally, this very same man beat his girlfriend and his kids to death. But after he gave up all of his built-up alibis, others' wrongs, that's what his alibis, the wrongs of others, the alibis, you see, had to drop away, and stark reality remained. And I think all of us must face stark reality to really be free. Stark reality. I mean, stark naked. Is that plain enough? And then we have some that face stark reality for a season and change for a while, but then evil spirits, yes, can take a temporary possession of them, and they see everything as evil. And as long as that evil spirit is upon them, they see everything as evil. Working against them, hey, glorious. Why me, Lord? I saw you. Don't say you didn't do it, Buster. I know. Don't you try to cover up. I know you're all against me. I'll get even with you, too. And if they don't say it, that's what's in their head. Do you ever have them thoughts? Sure you have. Every one of you. You got to face stark reality to get free. Say amen, somebody. Face it tonight and get free. My God. I know how to make you pay. Oh, yes. But then we find as we grow in the Lord that when we let out a cynical, negative, critical, fault-finding attitude, we're really letting in an evil spirit. And everybody is against us. Oh, I just don't know why this person is against me. I just feel it. You do? You know, you can make yourself psycho like that. I wonder what she meant by that. I wonder why he said that. I wonder this. I wonder that. I wonder this. I wonder that, huh? But then we can let in the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of creation. And it will create within us a new heart. We start our healing process. And then we look upon everything and see that it is good. See good in everything. We're so good at seeing evil in everything. Aren't we? How about being good about seeing good in everything? In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, a lot of people don't like that scripture. It doesn't say for all things. It says in all things. Now, you're in this situation. Praise God and get out of it. Or at least have the peace of God while you're in it. Because like I said in a previous message, the dungeon is within you. You're your own dungeon. And then the guy asked me today, he says, what do you mean by that? That people in this cafe in here are all sitting in their own dungeon most times. I says, because they've made their own dungeon. I said, there's nobody that can crawl in that body with you and no one that wants to do it but Jesus Christ. How do you like that? Nobody wants part of you. They'll want you for your outward appearance because you're a nice-looking chap. But they wouldn't want to get in on your problems. The only one that will get into that nasty body with you is Jesus Christ. But anyway, when we look upon everything and see that it is good, or at least can be made good, then something starts to happen. Our whole attitude starts looking for the good, and we start to be creative. Well, let's see, there must be some good in this person. Well, I don't know where it's at, but it's got to be someplace. Ooh, it's like finding a needle in a haystack. But I'm going to look. Now I'm going to believe God. There's some good in this person. You know what? While you're looking for good in this person, you're going to find a lot of bad in yourself. God's going to deal with it all. There's something in here. Oh, I tell you there is, huh? And while you're busy trying to find the good in others, you'll find that there isn't a whole lot of good in you, and you'll have to return right back to the same old message. But for the grace of God, there I am. It all comes back to the grace of God. It's sufficient. Oh, yes, the grace of God is sufficient, the grace message. Oh, but how do we get out of this critical life and these attitudes we have? First, they must be revealed. And then there are some that can't take the revealing. Some will never confess their wrong, their current wrong. And I'll talk about, when I was first saved, I had a garbage can, and I was into drugs, and I was into sex, and I was into bestiality, and I was about the most filthy. The next guy gets up. No, I was more filthy than you were. Look at here, I had this and I had that. The next guy gets up. No, I was more filthy. Take a look at this scungy garbage can. Oh, God, you never seen nothing like it. Huh? But as for the current things that are going on in their lives, they have become too holy and too righteous and too self-righteous for anyone to know about it, so they cap their chimneys. Is that right? They start to bulge at the seam. Pretty soon it's going to blow its top. And they say, don't you touch my boil. Don't you touch my sore spot. Don't you touch my sore head. One Sunday, years ago, a young man got up on stage and accused someone in the church. But I quickly got up and I told him of his folly and I said, no, this cannot be encouraged. Then he was all right, and then the same spirit came on him again a little later on. And I came against it so hard, it shocked people. You know where he's at now? He's ministering. He's ministering the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Why? God showed him himself, and he received that, hey, it wasn't the faults of others, it's his own faults God was dealing with. Anyway, this meekness that was caused through that deliverance that he had right on stage, it caused a vacuum, and he suffered, I believe, a true humility. And then that vacuum was filled with more of Jesus. See, that's the key to the whole thing, a meekness of spirit. Oh, how we need that meekness. Now listen to this in Psalm 25:9. The meek will he guide in judgment. Now listen carefully. The meek will he guide in judgment. Well, you know what? They have been made meek. Oh, if I had my life to live over, you know what I'd do? I'd be meek in a hurry. You can't tell somebody that they didn't need to meek out. Did you know that? You start to see them puff up and everybody say, hey, better meek out. Meek out, hold it, you're going to blow. They get to swelling and they're puffing up and they thank God they're just God's gift to humanity. You have to be made meek. How does God do that? Several ways. You get that spirit, oh, God's going to use me for a mighty work. I feel it. Ooh, huh? Yeah? Well, you're going to be made meek. But we are made meek, and then we are desirous of being taught. And you can't teach someone that isn't meek. They got it, baby. Don't you tell me, and you can feel a spirit rising up in them. Ooh. Ooh, and I say to myself, meek out, meek out, meek out. It's almost like they're flying. Feather out, hold, hold course. Feather, 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 pull back. No, no, they're headed for a dive. But we then become desirous of being taught, and we pray to be so. Because now we are aware of our very unworthiness. And then we are afraid that God will not teach us. If we don't remain meek, God cannot teach you anything, nothing. It's so easy to get off on your own, isn't it? Everything is going great. Oh, it's going so great that you want to take the reins yourself. Pride cometh before the fall. I don't know how many times I've crash dived, but I don't want to tell you one thing. I don't think I could take one more crash diving. I honest to God. And I know I wouldn't have taken any of them. It wouldn't be for the grace of God. But don't you see what I'm saying here tonight? That we don't allow ourselves to become meek and lowly at heart. A beggarly, beggarly, poor spirit, it says in the Bible, in the original Greek. And we don't want to take that on. And so we start to elevate ourselves. We start to be unteachable. We go to teachings. Oh, I heard that. And that's true. True. True, 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 true. And there is so much of that spirit right now today in the Christian community. It's such a stink and such a stink. I tell you right now, God is holding his nose at what's going on. I know it stinks. It is not a sweet savor unto the Lord at all. For we're always learning and never coming to know the truth. And we're always learning but never coming to know the truth. And when people are out there rattling those pots and pans, and we don't want to be, we want to be but sleepers. Oh, that's irritating. Oh, that irritates us. I got a good notion to move out of this bed and go to another bed. Good. Said it, and I'm glad. Say amen, somebody. Hey, I might die tonight. I want to get this off my chest. But it's only the truth, and the truth of only the truth that will set us free. But I'm praying to be so, and I'm aware of my own unworthiness. The meek. Pride and anger have no place in the school of Christ. No place whatsoever. Pray for the grace of God. When you get up and look for your shoe, you can't find. Oh, God's grace, help me find that shoe. Keep yourself humble and meek. Lord, I can't even find my own shoe without you. And the Bible says, ye can do nothing without me. Now, I'm just telling you to start to practice meekness. Do you ever get with somebody who says, oh, yes, I started that work, and I started this work, and I started that work, and I did this, and I did that, and I did this, and the credentials are about that long, and Jesus got lost in the credentials. Say amen. Now I want to be just tell you the truth, folks. It wasn't for the grace of God, I would have ran out of this north side a whole long time ago. The first week I was here, I would have been running. And it's because the grace of God put love in me that I don't have. And it's because the grace of God put the patience in me. And it's because the grace of God put the ability to work and to minister in me that I'm here, and only because of Him. Doesn't the song say, because He lives? Doesn't that go that way? I can face tomorrow, huh? And I started to think, even here, the Master himself is meek, it says in the Bible, and lowly of heart. Now, why can't we be that way if God himself is meek and lowly at heart? How can we get so puffed up? Whew. Ooh. Oh. You know, he who has no sense of his own ignorance. How many have a sense of their own ignorance? I do. Can then have no desire whatsoever. Can never learn. I'm not even talking about divine knowledge, but even human knowledge. If you don't know how ignorant you are, you'll never learn anything. The Bible says, be careful when you know something, know nothing at all. And you know why it says that? Because if you get caught up in what you know today, you'll never learn nothing tomorrow. You'll always be telling people, well, here's what I've learned. You'll probably even write books and books and books and books about what you've learned and what you know. And right while you're writing it down, it's obsolete. Say amen. This positive thinking stink. That's not, there's no positive thinking in man. It's a positive God. Man don't have positive thoughts. Oh, I don't believe that. Oh, that's not scriptural. Hey, it is scriptural. Not anybody tells you anything different. Your positivity is in Jesus Christ, not in your own thinking. Your only positive portion, that says it's no longer I that lives, but Christ in me. You're not supposed to be living. You're not supposed to say, I am a positive thinker. No. Your positive thoughts are from God. They're the only positive thoughts. So are there any positive thoughts in this world today? None. Isn't this kingdom coming down? Isn't the world kingdom coming down? It's coming down. I'll shock you as I may. This is the truth, and the truth will set you free. You are not a positive thinker, because a positive thinker would be thinking only on the Lord Jesus Christ and not on himself. Let your mind be stayed on Christ, it says, not on your own rituals and not on your own self-made rules on how to be rich. And after all, what is rich? Rich is having peace of mind. When you go to bed, you fall asleep unless the Lord has you up to pray. How many hearing this? Oh, my God. I'll tell you, we got it a little bit backwards, haven't we? It's the meekness of spirit that's going to change things around. Now, we can pretend to be meek. Have you ever seen a person pretending to be meek? Now, I'm not talking about that kind of stink. You understand what I'm saying? You can't act out meekness. It's something that God has to hammer into you. You know, after that a plate goes through, and metal goes through, and it's going to be formed into a plate, it's red hot, white hot. And then it gets beat into shape. You got to go through the fire of the Holy Ghost, and then you get meek. Go through the fire. That'll make you meek. Say amen, somebody. Oh, God. God himself came and he was meek, lowly at heart. Oh, but when we have these people all the time that come and they're critical of people and their surroundings, they end up in a sort of a frustration knot. You know, you get frustrated when you're critical of everybody else. You know what? Rick, you just frustrate me with the way you do things. You, Corey. Don't smile like that! Huh? And stop sitting there looking like the wise man with your hand on your face there! Can you get at me? Huh? And everybody gets to him but God. Oh, that guy can get to me. How many are hearing this tonight? Huh? And they're always tying themselves up in little knots. How many are hearing this? Little knots. Here's a knot and there's a knot. So on and so on and so on, right? Have you tied yourself up in a few of these knots? By being critical? By finding fault with other people? Now, I know we do that once in a while, but I mean all the time. and you end up, you're in a great big knot, and you go to bed, you know who you're sleeping with? The devil himself. Ain't none of them no good. Oh, and you know at the same time you blew it. You know you blew your whole day. How many hearing this? See, this little girl, she wanted to run away. Everything was wrong, and she said, I want to run away. And you know what? Her mother helped her pack the bag. Boy, did she pack a big bag. Are you hearing this? She didn't leave out a whole lot of things. Are you hearing it? Let's see, she says. There's your toothbrush and your paste and, oh yes, your hairbrush and your comb and your curlers and your jammies and 7 dresses and 3 pairs of shoes and soap and your dolls, your Cabbage Patch Andy and your Cabbage Patch Sally and your Cabbage Patch Daddy of Andy and Sally and your Cabbage Patch purse. You couldn't get it all in there, see. No, here's $10 for your first night out and for your room. And here's $2 for your eats, and I guess that's about it. Now, goodbye. And would you write us a letter and let us know when you're all settled down? The little girl left, and the mother watched. And finally, after fighting the traffic for about 3 blocks, she came back and... Mom said, oh, I thought you were going to leave home. And the little girl said, I was. But I didn't know where else to go. And you know, there's a lot of people that leave churches and they don't know where they're going. See, her little negative, critical, proud, runaway attitude landed her a 0. But anyway, some people grow old this way before somebody, some nut like me, the Disciples Ministry Church mission here, says, here, let me pack your bags, your negative attitudes and your critical spirit and your rebellion and your hatred. Let us give you lunch money. Don't let the door bang you in the seat of the pants on the way out, brother. And here's the wanted. Go get a job. Stop blaming your relatives. Stop blaming other people. Lay down your school books of some 50 years. What's that? You say you want to stay? Okay, you must stay, but you must shape up and contribute and become Christ-like. That's the message that we're going to have to start to preach. Go get a job, stop freeloading, and stop blaming the world because the world hates you. I know when you're walking in the Lord, the world hates you. Hates you, hates you, hates you. Is that plain enough? No, you make up your mind that the way of criticism is a dead-end road. Nobody was ever changed by criticism, especially nagging criticism. You ever nagging criticism? Nag, nag, huh? Oh, God. Some of you gals are good at that. Oh, God. Nag! Praise God. And I'm not talking about Jan. She's not a nagger. But some of the gals you hear, they're just so good at nag, nag, nag. And where were you? And why weren't you this? And you, and on, and on, and on, and on, huh? I'm convinced that's why a whole lot of women are single, is because God isn't going to misuse a man like that with some of them critical nags. Come on, let's hear it here. But I find that the only one who changes is the criticizer. You know what happens to them? How they change? They get worse. You say that isn't possible? Time will tell, friend. Then the whole body becomes a question mark. You know what I mean? See, you have to surrender this way of life because criticism is not a way of life. Give it up like you would a coat that was sprayed by a skunk. Let me get this point across. My God. See, this coat here has been sprayed by a skunk. We know what it says on here. Huh? Critical. The critical coat. You know, a lot of people wear this kind of coat. And they put it on, and they get up in the morning, and they put on their critical coat. And all day long, they're criticizing everybody. Huh? Huh? Did you know one side of your beard is longer than the other? And you know, when you got on this critical coat, people actually are intimidated by you. And so that you know that something's going to be wrong when they come up, and it's almost like it's written on their coat. And so people, they stay away from you because, oh God, now I wonder what's wrong with me today. Huh? Huh? Now take this coat off like it had been sprayed by a skunk and take it off, because that's how people are going to stay away from you if you got a critical spirit and you get always whining.
And then this person and that person, and then you know what they said, and furthermore,
and you know what, I caught myself doing that this week and I got thoroughly sick of myself. I thought, what have you got to nag and complain about and criticize about? Who are you judging? Why don't you just take off that coat? And God showed me it was just like a coat, been sprayed by a skunk. Take it off. Nobody even wants to get next to you when you're like that. Because you're so critical and so nasty. Don't use it. The Lord told me one time, don't use that. It's constructive criticism. You ever hear such a dumb thing? Is that constructive? A constructive kick in the pants. You know what I mean? Bunch of baloney. How many hearing this message? So give it up and begin to look for the good in people and in circumstances begin to look for it. Put on Christ and don't put on that type of coat. And as you see and express good, a good spirit will take possession of you. Just practice seeing good and just sit down and just say, God, show me what's good in people. Show me some good. Help me not to fault find today, but by the grace of God, give me spiritual eyes to see like you see beforehand, before it even is so. Let me see it like it already is. Not in my positive thinking, but in your positive spirit that fills me and gives me the grace to see what you want me to see, and so I can't take credit. Oh, I just positively thought that way, and that's what happened. Well, there's guys that bend spoons like that too, and it's not a God, I'll tell you. Say amen, somebody. And God, you just help me today to see good. And you walk along and you see the most miserable looking gent you ever want to look at, and you all of a sudden you say, you know what? I'm seeing some things and qualities in that person I wish I had. Right? Now God got you going for what that person has that you thought was way below you. And you say, oh God, give me a meek spirit like this person laying down in the gutter down here with his clothes all bespeckled with vomit. And give me that meekness of spirit. There's something in that person I need. Now it's getting kind of quiet in here. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is here tonight and the Holy Spirit is working on all of us, that we need to have a meek spirit. Don't criticize people. God is telling us, you have this, we have this type of thing we're doing all the time. Let's project ourselves into the person's situation before we start to judge. Let's start to ask God and get into prayer and say, God, why is this person this way? And the first person God is going to show you is you. Then things will start to look a little bit different. Oh, the Indians, they pray, oh, Great Spirit, help me not to judge a man till I have walked in his moccasins for 2 moons. Huh? Say amen. I'm going to line up all these old shoes here. You hearing his message? Hope you never forget it. Line up all these little old shoes here. Huh? Now we're just going to take a look at these shoes here. Don't you judge this, let's call her Lucy Goose here. Let's just call her Mother Goose Shoes. You know, a Mother Goose that goes around and she's just all nervous and uptight and everything, you know. You know, and then all of her little ones are falling behind her Mother Goose. Huh? Don't judge her until you've been in her shoes for a while. Or Lady Snob. Don't judge her until you've been in her boots for a while. And why is she really that way? And what's she hiding behind all this? Or how about Sissy Ugler? Don't judge her. You don't know her heart. You don't know why she's the way she is. Or how about this one here? Ignorant Sal. Oh, God, there's a lot of old ignorant Sal here. Huh?
Pastor Paul, can I have
Huh? Don't judge her. You don't know what's happening. How about this little guy here? Rotten Blatt. Huh? How about it? You don't know what's going on in Rotten Blatt. Maybe you don't even care. How about this little guy? Hyper Kid. Huh? How about it? Don't you say nothing till you step into each one of them little boots, each time, each one, each one, each one, each one, each one. And you ask God to show you each person why they are the way they are, and God will show you yourself, and you say, okay, now you've seen yourself, now I'm going to show you a little bit about your ministry to this person. How you need to have the compassion, how you need to have the desire to help them, how you need to have a beggarly poor spirit and have a meekness of heart so that you're teachable. I can't tell you anything about these precious people when you're raising such a stink with that old skunk coat on. Now I'll tell you, when the Lord speaks to me that way, woo, I'm taking that coat off. And I believe in closing here, we ought to work out a positive approach based on a positive start. Seeking a positive solution. When you take off on a road, you got to have a positive start. You got to pray for the grace of God that even gives you the desire to go on that road. Then after you pray for the grace of God to give you the desire to get on that road, you have to pray for the grace of God to keep you on that road. And after you pray for the grace of God to keep you on that road, you have to pray for the grace of God to show you what you're going to meet on that road. And it's all kinds of trials, and it's all kinds of tribulations, and it's all kinds of ministry. And I ain't talking about claiming things. I'm talking about working for the kingdom of God and denying yourself all for the Lord Jesus Christ. I talked to a couple that had been married, it was almost 80 years. And their secret for loving each other still was that they were considerate of one another. They read their Bibles and they believed what they read. Every time before an argument, we count to 10. And then instead of the argument, we kiss instead. And it said, treat one another with the same spirit as you experienced in Christ Jesus in Philippians 2 and 5. Whew. Let me read a piece of scripture here before we... And here we are in Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Do not judge lest you be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by the standard of measure, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will clearly see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Now, a lot of people read that, and they read it for somebody else. When I read this, I'm reading it about myself. And when you read the Bible, you read it for yourself, because you can. We could sit here and we could say, okay, now, when we see people like that, we'll know how to handle them. Well, now, see, you got the wrong spirit. Just remember, God is only dealing with you. No matter how nasty or how critical or how many skunk coats that you run into in a day, you have to pray and ask God, God, why is this person wearing this skunk coat? Now, that's the other end of the story there, isn't it? So many times we take a message and then we know from the message we get real positive about it, and then we know where all the skunks are, and then we just stay away from it. Now, you're just what Pastor Paul is talking about. You're a real critical spirit. No, it takes one to know one. You're a critical spirit now against skunk coat and against all these other shoes here. And so in closing here is Psalm 147. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. And I thought, oh, isn't that like God? He reverses the evil order of things, and the meek are down, and he lifts them up, and the wicked are exalted, and he hurls them to the dust. The Lord loves them who give him glory and are humble in their own eyes. And you know how you get humble in your own eyes? By seeing your secret faults. How many of you got secret faults? We should play a game sometime. I have a secret. It's not secret from God. It's not secret from our consciences, though, is it? I think this week I was, this week or last 2 weeks, I have had some nasty insults. And I thought, well, you know, there is a little bit of truth in that, so I'm going to take it. There's always a little bit of truth in everything, isn't there? And after I said there was a little bit of truth in it, you know what? God showed me it was about 50-50. And I tried to bargain, well, I can believe 30-70, but 50-50? You know, I got myself all the way down to zero. Don't try to bargain with God. Sin is sin. But when we humble and we humble ourselves in our own eyes by seeing our secret faults, which causes us to seek after the grace of God and to become meek and lowly in heart, glory to God, then we are ready to be lifted up. Lifted up to what? Lifted up to hope, lifted up to power, and lifted up, yes, until that eternal honor and eternal glory in God. And I thought the meek don't have to envy these lofty. No, because you know what? The Lord is going to come and sweep them away. And you know, we don't have to worry about their gay robes. That's like a king watching a play, and the guy that comes on is playing the part of the king, and he has on a tin crown. You don't have to be jealous of what the world has, and don't worry about this kingdom. Worldly kingdom, falling down, worldly kingdom, falling down, I'll praise my Jesus. Hey, it's coming down. Don't worry about it. Don't get frustrated about it. Don't argue politics about it. It ain't got nothing to do with it. God's got it all in control, and God right now is bringing his kingdom in. when it's the end of an age. Let's invest our time and our talents and our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole soul, and all our strength in the kingdom of God. And every time before that you are tempted, and you are tempted, even if you are tempted with that thing, you say, there's a choice. I choose Jesus above this temptation. Just like in Jesus chose God above all the other temptations to do the will of the Father. How many heard this message tonight? Let me say something here. If you're sitting in here tonight and you aren't born again, or if you're listening on the radio or to this tape, you're not born again. It's a time for you to be born again. Right now, tonight, you can be born again. You listening to this tape, if you're convicted in your spirit to be born again, I think we have to get back to gospel preaching, people. We are so smart and so knowledgeable in God. And we know everything about everything. You know what I'm saying? Well, chap, it's almost like we have the little gloss in our eye and we scrutinize everything. Peasantries, aren't right? No, that's not the way it is. We know nothing. Saving Christ crucified and rose again. Know the blood of Christ and know the freedom in the Lord. That's the whole message. And as you look around, we all know it. There's a worldly kingdom coming down. Man, they got them laying on the floor, screwing their necks up and flipping around in circles. I'm telling you, it's going down. How many know that this kingdom is coming down? Are you talking mutiny on the Bounty? I'm talking, I'm saying like it is. It's going down. But there's one that's coming in, and it's glory to God. The kingdom of God is coming in right now. Young man, are you born again? Are you born again? Where are you from, both of you? Where? St. Louis Park. What church do you go there? Park Assembly. I know you didn't hear all this message, but you heard enough of it. Say amen. Hey, I tell you, it is exciting being a Christian. So exciting having you here, honey, because see, you're going to have a ministry that nobody else would have. By your changing, people, I tell you, all over the north side are going to say, behold, something happened. When I got born again, you know what my friends said? They said, you know what? If that guy it can be saved, anybody can be saved. I believe in God when that man changed. I believe in God. Did you see Paul? And I knew I had a lot of changing to do, you know what I mean? And I knew I was going through some acting abilities. But something had changed. Oh, you're going to have a ministry. You two right here are going to have a ministry, and you, sir, are going to have a ministry. Why? God's bringing up and raising up people. It says to go to the highways and the byways and minister to all creation, highways and byways. You know what? You're going to irritate people with all your banging around in the kitchen, rattling them pots and pans, and glory to God. You're going to irritate all the sleepers and all the people. I don't want to come to God yet. I want to sleep a while. Give me another Jim Beam. The beam in their eye, huh? Jim Beam. Are you young guys born again? Where are you guys from? New Brighton. New Brighton, and is it Assembly Church, or where are you from? What church are you from? Calvary Bible and Luther. Are you? The Lutheran Church, and you're all born again? Okay, I just went to the Lutheran Brotherhood building and was ministering down in there, and praise God for the evangelical Lutheran people to be born again. Are you born again, hon? Okay, you came to the right place. And how about you back there, you beautiful people? Are you born again back there? You know what I mean by that? Okay. A lot of times people look and say, well, that guy's a little hard tack. Well, might be so, but at least I'm interested enough to ask people if they know what I'm talking. You know what I'm talking about when I say born again? Because if you don't, Yeah, you heard it, but have you asked Jesus into your heart?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then you're born again.
Then you are,
if you just ask Jesus in there. You know, if I prayed with you tonight, and then I want you to believe it finally, okay? Pray with me and believe tonight, okay? Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. And now, Jesus, baptize and fill me with God's Holy Spirit and a new language.
Amen.
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 Amen. I know I can see that. Yeah. Let's hear it for the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Are you born again, honey? Okay, okay. Well, you never know until you ask. Isn't that right? Have I missed anybody? You can just put your hand up if you don't know for sure. It takes 30 seconds to be born again. Want to put your hand up if you don't know and say, oh, I would like to meet Jesus tonight? Huh? There's a girl back there in a white. Are you born again, honey? Okay. Oh, we took off a lot of skunk coats tonight, didn't we? Look at all these precious people standing here. Let's have a hand for all them. Praise God.